has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show. Boy, I'm having a lot more fun today than I've had in a while, Barry. How about you?
Yeah, my personal investor confidence level is up.
Okay, that's good because we do have a rally going in the market. Kind of interesting. I heard some people talking that maybe just Microsoft could ignite some kind of a rally, and that appears to be the case, at least for now. These rallies haven't lasted real good here recently, but the Dow right now is up 436, 34,733. You've got the S&P up 83 points, 1.9%. That's a big percentage gain right now. NASDAQ's up 353. That's a 2.6% gain. Right now for the NASDAQ. Russell 2000 up 1.7%. Oil, again, screaming higher, up $1.53 to $87.13. Looks like it's headed for 90. Gold not participating. Gold just will not leave that 1800 area. It's at 1834. We've got silver down a penny. The 10-year actually, he's up 6 basis points today, so obviously people feel a little bit better about the prospects for the market today than they have been the last several days as Russia masses on the border of Ukraine. And last but not least, we've got Bitcoin now up $1,951, but it is all the way down at $38,000. 260 after getting to about 65,000, 66,000 here, not that long ago. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, Barry, before we get into today's action, I just want to recap yesterday. It was another horrible day. The NASDAQ was down 316 yesterday, so you're kind of getting back what you lost yesterday in the NASDAQ. But what stood out to me yesterday, the Dow and S&P, they've held their key technical support levels. And I want to tell you, the energy sector, the oil and gas sector, and the bank sector were just on fire yesterday while tech was dead yesterday. And then, you know, after the close of the market, Microsoft reported, and the initial reaction was down.
Yeah, it was awful. You know, initially, it's odd to me how, you know, I guess folks dove deeper into the report, right?
Yeah, and I think it was more about their forecast going forward, which I've always said, you know, that's more important. Yes, looking backwards is important and telling us what happened. But giving your outlook for what's going to happen going forward, that's even more important. And during the night, I think that was, you know, looked at a little harder. And now you've got Microsoft right now. It's up, 4.6%. So it is really the fire underneath the market today. But you know what? That fire has been stuffed out many, many times here recently. Tonight you're going to hear from Tesla and Lam Research. I would have to say Tesla is one of the big three these days as far as reporting earnings. So, yeah, it was a good day in the market yesterday if you were in the energy stocks, if you were inverse, the high tech, and if you were in the bank stocks. And today it's pretty broad-based, actually. You've got the oil stocks participating today. You have the bank stocks participating to some extent, and tech leading the way. So we own all four, right? We have inverse funds. We have some big tech holdings. Microsoft is still one of our biggest holdings. We have some bank holdings, and we have some oil and gas holdings and a smattering of other stuff here and there.
And Apple, that's Apple that'll be reporting. They're reporting after the close today, I believe.
Are they today? Let's see. I think here, I'll give you that. I think it's actually, I think it might be, I think it might be tomorrow. Let me see. The actual in the Market Smith here, Apple is 127.
Okay.
That's tomorrow. So look, between today and tomorrow, I think we're going to get some kind of direction here in the market. And let's not forget, we haven't even mentioned yet the elephant in the room. Oh, he's not that big, but Jerome Powell wields elephant-like power. And I don't think anybody expects them to do anything today. Just like, you know, everybody looks at Microsoft, their earnings from the last quarter, but it's more about what the Fed will map, will indicate in their Fed speech, just when will those interest rate hikes start and how many, you know. So that's going to really have, that's going to have a monstrous effect on the market when we hear that. Maybe, you know, I've seen a few people have emailed me and said, maybe with all of the turmoil in the market, the Fed will not raise rates. You know, I don't think the Fed, I think the Fed's more worried about inflation than they are raising interest rates. So, rather than keeping that lid on inflation more than the markets, more than watching the markets. All right. Okay. We got some more predictions today. You've got the market surging. You've got the Fed meeting. Janet Yellen gave a speech at Davos about modern monetary economics. I know Barry, as a chartered financial analyst, I'm sure you had to follow Keynes, John Maynard Keynes, and Keynesian, and you had to study supply side, and you had to study Adam Smith.
Yeah, Milton Friedman from Chicago School, right?
All yep. All these people with different schools of thought on how an economy works. And, of course, you've got Arthur Laffer out there that analyzes the impact of taxes on the economy. Well, Janet Yellen seems to be a proponent of one I did not study in college. It wasn't around back then, but it might have been by some other name. It's called modern monetary economics, which says there's really no limit to what a government can print and spend. Well, okay, I mean, yeah, there is no limit. She's right, but what is the impact of that? It's inflation because it devalues the value of your currency. So I would say if I was the Fed chairman, inflation would be my number one concern right now. Okay, tonight, other companies that will be reporting, I see Seagate Technology in that mix. I see Lam Research. I see Intel. And, of course, Tesla. That's the big one. That's the elephant in the room these days. I see Teradyne. So I see some pretty important companies. Oh, I see ServiceNow in that mix. They will be reporting tonight. Meanwhile, this energy sector, I have to believe it has something to do with Russia, with Ukraine, and a disruption of the oil supplies. You've also got, I know, a big drawdown in our oil supplies here in America, which is very bullish for oil. You've got Germany that doesn't want to do anything to sanction Russia as it relates to their energy part of their economy. Well, that's 80% of the Russian economy is oil and gas. The other 20% is weapons, missiles, and whatnot. And Germany is totally reliant on gas coming from Russia. So those sanctions seem pretty modest at best from where I sit on Putin. Okay, let's see. U.S. wheat hits a two-month peak. Okay. Dave's sunflower seed bread will be going up at Walmart, that's for sure, Barry. You watch for that.
Right.
Can we buy? Well, you can buy wheat futures. There is an ETF called WEAT, wheat. Ukraine is a big producer of wheat. That's one another reason. Our crop is low this year. Fertilizer is expensive and hard to get. And the other one, the other ETF that I have actually owned in the past is a grain ETF, JJG. I don't know if it's named after Joseph of Egypt, but as we recall, he stored up for 7 years grain and made a lot of money for Pharaoh.
Probably. They're pretty fancy with those. They're pretty good with those ETF names nowadays.
Yeah, I imagine Joseph of Egypt is in there somewhere, but he made a fortune for Pharaoh because he bought while things were plentiful and cheap and sold when things were not plentiful and expensive. I think there's a lesson for us all there. When we come back, an update on Bitcoin and a couple of market predictions and a little preview of Apple results, which come out tomorrow. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's best stocks now, best energy stocks now, best banking stocks now, best inverse ETFs now. I have to be honest, I'm not real impressed by the move in tech today. And I know that may be a little disappointing, but I'm looking at the 100 NASDAQ stocks. The leader is KLA 10 Core. Up 5.1%, NVIDIA 4.8%. Then you get into Expedia, which is a travel stock. Texas Instruments up 4.6%, Microsoft up 4.5%, Broadcom up 4.3%. It just looks like more of a short covering rally to me, and I'm going to continue to stand by what I've been saying. I just don't think tech is the best area to be invested. Now, having said that, we obviously still own several tech stocks, big ones, but we've gotten rid of the high PE. We've trimmed considerably our tech since February of last year. I mean, the first wave to go were all of the work from home 2020 darlings, we still own a lot of the big quality names, but we've been trimming here. If they break that support level, I don't care. Nothing is sacred. You don't want those further losses because they can be really, really, really damaging. As a veteran of the year 2000, I saw and know many people that rode stocks down 90-95%. You know what they said all the way down? Oh, it's going to come back. The fundamentals are good. The company's not going away. I heard that over and over again.
It's a buying opportunity, right?
Yes. I'm hearing that in ARK, okay? Our ARK article. How many people said she's the new Warren Buffett? Well, there's totally two different strategies there. Warren Buffett is at the opposite end of the spectrum there. So I'm happy about today's move in the market. I'm happy about Microsoft. I'm happy about the impact it's having on the rest of the tech stocks, but I'm not real excited. When I put on my diving mask and snorkel and just looked under the surface here during the commercial, I'm just kind of like underwhelmed by the move in tech today. So you need a balanced approach right now. And you definitely have to have a defense with soldiers on that line of demarcation ready to fire and get rid of anything that crosses that line. That's just my little bit of advice here in this market right now. Now, I've heard the other side of the coin. I have someone that's very close to me that said, tech, Bill, over the last many years, you buy the dips. Every time you buy the dips, they're the best thing going. But I just think that we're in a new environment right now. We're going to find out today.
Well, and I think it's type of exposure, right?
Yeah.
It's not, like you said, we're still in the large tech names that move the market, like Microsoft, Apple,
Yeah.
But we're also, you know, our tech exposure is no longer, a lot of your high-flying software names.
It's, yeah.
You know, we're still in the, where you're adding back that exposure or keeping that exposure is in those chip names. So it's more your picks and shovels approach to tech.
Yeah.
Where we know there's a supply-demand mismatch for chips anyway. They can't make enough of them. So
right.
You've got a kind of a natural floor there, but still, it doesn't mean that, you know, as much as we love AMD, it doesn't mean, like you said, they're not sacred because they do have a higher PE related
exactly.
to the market now. So they're on the front lines in terms of a possible exclusion at some point.
Yeah, and stuff like Amazon and ServiceNow, we got rid of quite a while ago because they're in the higher echelon of price to sales ratios and price to earnings ratios. Okay, the International Monetary Fund, that guy in El Salvador, he's a character. He had a McDonald's
Bitcoin,
uniform on yesterday and has made Bitcoin a legal tender in El Salvador. The IMF is urging El Salvador to strip Bitcoin of legal tender status. And, of course, Russia a few days ago was banning Bitcoin, and Putin called it a Ponzi scheme, and now one of his economic ministers is kind of walking that back. So anyways, Bitcoin continues to be in the center of the news feed these days. Fundstrat, Tom Lee, he's been pretty good. He's pretty sharp on as a market analyst. Okay, I have a few that I watch very, very closely, and I really respect their opinions. I shy away, Barry, from the perma-bears, okay? It doesn't mean a whole lot when a guy comes on and says the market's going to go down 45%, and he's been saying that for the last 10 years, okay? I'm not going to give him too much credence. I'm not going to also, I'm going to kind of, drown out the perma-bulls, okay, that never see the market, the Jeremy Siegels, I suppose, of the world. And others that, they buy no matter what the market's doing. They're perma bulls. No, there's in between. Tom Lee is one of the guys I respect. He says the recent drop in U.S. equities has created an extremely oversold market. Well, from a technical point of view, yes, absolutely. I was talking to another guy last night, and he says, I think Coinbase is extremely oversold. I said, I do too, but that doesn't mean it can't get more oversold. I just don't think it has the fundamentals that this market is favoring right now. I said, why don't you look at a small community bank stock? And his eyes just glaze over. I could tell he had no interest in a small community bank stock. He said, I'm gonna day trade that Coinbase. Okay, well, you know what? He's done real well as a day trader, so I respect him too. But as an investor, I think the opportunities this year are in completely different areas of the market. All right, Apple results likely to highlight iPhone and services strength. It'll be interesting to see how the supply chain has impacted Apple. Because, Barry, even if you've got demand, I mean, there's heavy demand for COVID test kits right now, but there's no test kits available to be had. Well, it's the same with the Apple world. If they can't crank them out as fast as the demand, it's gonna hurt their earnings and their sales. So that's what we'll be watching for. The consensus estimate is $1.89 per share in earnings. Now, that's for 3 months. So that's a run rate of about $7 to $8 per share, which is a heck of a lot higher than the Cloudflares, the CrowdStrikes of the world. They don't have PE ratios like that and earnings like that, and that's why Apple has held up much better in this environment. So they're expecting to make $1.89 per share on $118.4 billion in revenue. Can you imagine $118 billion in revenue in just one quarter?
One quarter, right.
That's $500 billion, half a trillion a year in sales. Wow. We'll be right back. The second half of today's Best Docs Now show, and you know, looking underneath the surface, looking under the hood of the market engine, I thought, you know, it's not really purring here like it should. The Dow was up 500, still up 170. I'm seeing a little bit of softness and profit taking maybe here in the banks and in the oil and gas stocks. There's still strength in the NASDAQ. But, Barry, it's pretty anemic, especially as I look at the really highfalutin, long-duration stocks. It's a tiny little bounce here today, just a blip on the screen, and I don't give it too much hope of this turning the tech sector around any time soon. Well, let's throw some names out there on the table right now and see if they might be a good investment for this environment. Okay, now I don't know if you've had a chance yet. Does our we have a McDonald's in Mount Pleasant that I rarely go to unless I'm just desperate. Their McPlant burger is selling well in early tests. Each McDonald's is selling roughly 70 McPlant burgers per location every day. The menu item will soon be added to about 600 restaurants in the San Francisco Bay. That's probably a pretty good market for McPlant. Dallas-Fort Worth, I'm not so sure of. You know, it's hard for me to see a Texan eating a McPlant. But, you know, a guy with a cowboy hat and boots and a big four-wheel drive truck, you know, ordering a McPlant burger, it's just hard to imagine, but I'm sure there's plenty of, you know, regular folk down there in Dallas-Fort Worth. And don't forget, Dallas has In-N-Out Burgers down there. So McPlant's going to have a hard time. But, okay, Beyond Meat is the very definition. It's beyond positive cash flow. It has not made money. Beyond Meat got as high as $240 per share when it went public. It was probably one of the hottest IPOs of all time. Much ballyhooed, hyped, Bill Gates' connections to the company, the kind of vegetarian craze and everything else. And now Beyond Meat is 62. So it's lost 75% of its value. But my big problem is the money it's losing. I mean, you can't continue to hemorrhage money with 4% sales growth quarter by quarter. That's just not going to get you to break even anytime soon. So, you know, I know all the McDonald's hype and everything like that, but this isn't on my radar right now. Okay, now how about Microsoft? Let's pick Microsoft apart a little bit. I didn't like the way it was trading yesterday. And I thought, you know, the thought ran through my mind. I didn't do it. I thought, you know, why is it any different than the rest of the tech stocks out there? Well, the PE's a little more in line. It's 33. Okay. Amazon, by contrast, is a 55. So Microsoft is a little bit more tolerable there. And Microsoft, as big as it is, it's almost incredible that they continue. Over the last 5 years, their earnings have gone up by 22% per year. All right. I mean, Beyond Meat would give anything to just have earnings, let alone 22% growth per year, Barry.
Yeah, that growth rate, that's exactly what hit me. The growth rate on such a large company, because it surprised me, or, you know, the reaction early on yesterday once they reported, you know, beating you know, estimates on both the top line and earnings. And then, of course, you know, some of the guidance, you know, it was funny because they were talking about, you know, the the Azure section of their business, you know,
yeah.
it only grew 46% year over year. You know, it was supposed to grow, you know, close to 50. I mean, I'm like, you know, in this market, if you've seen what's happened over the last, you know, few weeks, I think I'll take it, you know.
Yeah, so their quarter came in, okay, their earnings were $2.48. That means they're running at about $10 a year in earnings. We just talked about Apple running at $8. Of course, that also, you know, it depends on how many shares they have. You can't just compare $8 versus $10. But that's a lot of earnings. Their earnings were up 22% versus the same fourth quarter last year. And their sales, this is even more impressive, were up 20% versus the same quarter last year. This is now a $2.2 trillion dollar company. We never had trillion-dollar companies until recently, and now we've got Apple, Microsoft. I don't know, is Tesla still a trillion? Amazon was up there. I don't think it is anymore. Microsoft, $2.2 trillion in market cap. Well, Amazon's $1.4 trillion. So I guess my take on Microsoft is, I'm happy. I own it. It's one of our biggest positions. We have a huge gain in it. I'm not going to go out and add to my position today. I don't think this is a good entry point. And in fact, I think it might even, the chart looks pretty weak, actually, to me. It's holding its support level, but, you know, barely. So that's my take on Microsoft. It's a hold.
Right, and looking at it in the context of a portfolio, right, where we have some inverse exposure in on the NASDAQ, you know, you got to pick, you know, certain places to be on the long side,
exactly,
to take advantage of some of these, you know, bumps up in the market. And so, you know, kind of, you know, I'm a fan of the strategy of, you know, holding some of the big tech names and then being, you know, inverse the full index, because I think you're just going to get some benefit here. For example, you know, you've got the NASDAQ down 1 point or up 1.7 today, and then Microsoft, you know, outperforming at 4% or so. So that's looking at it in the portfolio context, it makes a lot of sense, I think, to have it in a portfolio while you're have some inverse NASDAQ exposure. So.
Yeah, and I think the market's still in kind of a transition phase. I said earlier this week that we're not in a bear market yet. So on these days when you have a big day in the NASDAQ, there's going to be a lot of them in the future. There were a lot back in the year 2000. I'm not ready to be 100% inverse. That happens when we get into a full-on bear. I'd have very few long stocks at that point. There's always something working, maybe the oil and gas, maybe copper, I don't know. But I want to have a pretty good, you know, a pretty good smattering of some of these big kingpin names on days like this. And on the other hand, I don't want to have 100% technology stocks either, kind of like we did back in the year 2020. I can't even imagine. Well, we would be about what, you know, I've seen some other ETFs are down 30-35% in the last 4 weeks. That's the kind of damage. Okay, let's look at another one, Texas Instruments. You know, that's just not. That's not a dominant player. It's not a leader in that sector. Yes, it's up 4.2% today. And yes, there is a semiconductor shortage, but they're just not looking at the kind of growth that a Microsoft is. Okay, now let's look at a few stocks outside of the tech sector that are in the news today. Abbott Labs, which was a good one to own during the testing. They had the best test kit. They still do. I don't think there's much margin in those test kits anymore. We got out of Abbott Labs, and that's not a good chart on Abbott Labs ABT. Okay, let's look at a consumer staple. Kimberly-Clark, which had a big run back in 2022 when paper towels you couldn't get, you know, at the market and this kind of stuff. But Kimberly-Clark is a single-digit grower, okay? That is not good enough for us, single-digit grower. And because of that, they pay a 3.5% dividend yield, which is fat, I understand, but you want capital appreciation too. And over the last 5 years, while Microsoft has been growing by 22% per year, their bottom line, Kimberly-Clark's been growing by 5% per year. That makes a big, big difference in returns of a stock. Okay, and last but not least, Boeing is in the news today. We have a big lot of people work for Boeing here in the South Carolina area. Their second plant is here. Their other one, obviously, in the Seattle-Tacoma area. Boeing not doing so hot. That's part of the Dow. The Dow's only up 110 and sinking as we speak. As Boeing is sinking, Boeing is now down 3.3%. They lost $7.69 per share over the last quarter. Ouch. Okay, some standout stocks when we come back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I hate to say it, but I am just totally, totally, totally underwhelmed by this move in the market today. I've looked at, maybe 500 stocks. Nothing really stands out to me at all. You know, I think Microsoft got a lot of the, there's a lot of short interest. There's got to be a lot of short interest in the tech area right now. And when they hear some good news and a stock starts to go positive in the after hours, I think a lot of the short interest people scramble a little bit, cover their shorts. That's what it looks like to me. I'm just going to give you three names here. Two good and one that I would call, this is the first stock I'm going to give you is, I think, representative. Well, they call that a dead cat bounce, right? Dead cat bounce. You throw a dead cat out of a 20th floor.
I guess every time I hear that now, I'm
kind of gruesome.
Is that still a PC?
Yeah. I don't know. The PETA people, we'll just call it a sucker bounce, okay? I'm looking at Datadog. I guess that's a dead dog bounce there. We own Datadog, but here's my issue with Datadog. It's got a PE ratio of 368. And while that may have flown under the radar in an extremely low interest rate environment and the massive amount of money being thrown into the economy by the Fed here, go buy some speculative stocks. Datadog fit the bill. And a lot of those software stocks, the cloud and the cybersecurity stocks were on fire. I don't care if it was Okta, Cloudflare, what's the one I'm trying to think of? A CrowdStrike.
Oh, CrowdStrike, yeah. Which is
several of them. There's just a whole slew of them. Palo Alto Networks. Well, Datadog's having a bounce today, and it's slowly disappearing. The starch is slowly coming out of its shirt. It's now up 6.1%. I just think that's representative of the whole 368 PE ratio types of stocks like this. I just think that's the worst area you could be in right now. Okay, now a couple. Now they're not as exciting. Oh, that's for sure. Here's the first one, HAFC. What's that, Bill? What's that? Do they mine bitcoins in Kazakhstan? No. No, they own banks, 35 offices in Colorado, Texas, Virginia, and Washington. Pretty good states to own banks in. It's a small cap stock, Hanmi Financial. It's got a PE ratio of 8, single digit. And they reported earnings here for the fourth quarter. Their earnings were up 132%. This is their last four quarters, 575%, 140%, 62%, 132%. And I got to believe they're going to try to continue to grow. Okay. The relative strength is 98. What's Datadog again? Datadog's relative strength is 80. It's actually better than I thought. But between the two, I mean, the market has turned upside down. And now it's these boring kind of stocks that are exciting. And the exciting stocks are not boring. They're downright ugly in, for the most part. Datadog's a little better than most. I would not be going back into Datadog. I would instead be shopping in different aisles of the supermarket right now. Fortunately, I think, Barry, a lot of folks only know a couple aisles of the supermarket, right?
There's those couple aisles you just never go down. Yeah. It's like you peek and there's some cards at the end and you just don't go, you don't go there very often.
The laundry detergent aisle, you'll rarely find me in the laundry detergent aisle. I'm not chauvinist. If my wife says, hey, pick up some laundry detergent while you're at the market, pal. I'm not going to go shopping.
Our wheelhouse. Yeah,
I'm not browsing right. In that aisle. Now the cheese, salami, imported cheese, and the honey roasted peanut aisle. Okay, but anyways, this is the regional bank aisle. Okay, it's right next to the laundry detergent aisle. Those are the stocks that are the hottest stocks in the app right now. Hopefully, the app is not up. I gave him a deadline. I've got a call with an attorney right after this show, and I've got a call with another person that can help us rebuild very quickly the app. But I'm coming after Host Monster. You've been lying to me, and I'm sick of it, all right? All right, the other one, next to the laundry detergent aisle, how about oil and gas maintenance companies, field services? They service your equipment. If your drilling rig goes down, who are you going to call? Well, RPC Inc., the symbol is RES. It's another very small cap company. It's got to be headquartered in Texas somewhere. And they're not. No, Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, I don't know if they eat plant burgers in Atlanta. Definitely not the oil fields of Texas. They're not eating no plant burger. But RPC, $6.37. It's up 6.2% today. The bank aisle is an aisle you need to shop in 2022. The oil and gas aisle is another aisle you need to shop in 2022. You don't need to go hog wild, but I think you're more apt to pick a winner off the shelf than you are in a cloud stock in 2022. That's just a little bit of advice for a guy who's been doing it for 22 years. Now, if you'd like to talk to us and put our experience to work for you, we're not sitting on our thumbs telling you to stay the course. We had a massive upheaval in the market that began last February, and it all revolves around interest rates right now and inflation, and that's how we're playing this. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. But, even more than the app, the newsletter that I put out every week, it dwarfs my Best Stocks Now app for the information that is in it. And we offer 2 free weeks to anybody who wants to take a gander at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. And I've been sending out alerts to all my followers here recently as a courtesy while the app is still not back up. A lot of people appreciate that I'm keeping them on top of the market and letting them know what I'm observing in the market throughout the day, 10 hours a day. 855-611-BEST or get into our database at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade.
Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.